الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله thank all my dear Allah who has spared our lives up to this moment up to this day today is the first of Shaban 1442 which is equivalent to 26th of March 2021. We shall continue with our study in this book titled Amdatul Ahkam by Al-Hafiz Abdul Ghani Al-Maddaki. In our last class, we discussed extensively about some rulings concerning Jumat prayer. Then we entered into the chapter that talks about the eight prayers. And we discussed about ruling concerning the sermon given during the eight prayers. I want to do the slaughtering, and I guess that was where we stopped. Inshallah, today we will continue from the next hadith, which is the hadith of Jabir. Says An Jabir radiallahu anhu. An Jabir radiallahu anhu qala. Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated. He said, شهدت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم العيد. Said, I witnessed his prayer together with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Said, فبدأ بالصلاة قبل الخطبة. So on the eighth day, the Prophet started with the prayer before the sermon. بلا أذان ولا إقامة. There was no azan, there was no call to prayer, and there was no iqama. So this is what we explained last week, that the sermon delivered on each day is to be delivered after the prayer. Okay? Then this hadith is also indicating that what? The each prayer is with what? Is without azan and without iqama. No. فَثُمَّ قَامَ. Then after the prayer, the Prophet stood up. Mutawakki'an ala al-Bilal, was reclining on Bilal. So he stood in front of the people, Bilal was standing close to him, and he was reclining on Bilal. That is his mu'adhin. Fa amara bi taqwa. So the Prophet now gave the sermon. He commanded people to fear Allah, bi taqwa Allah, to fear Allah, wa hassa ala ta'atihi, and he encouraged them to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa wa'adha nas, he admonished the people. Was a karam. He reminded them about their duty to Allah. Summa mada, after delivering his sermon to the men, he now went after Atan Nisal. He got to the place of women. Women will always be behind the congregation of the men. So when the Prophet finished delivering his sermon to the men, he now went to the side of the women. He said, Fawa'azahunna. He also admonished the women. Was a karahunna. And he reminded them of their duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Faqala, in his sermon to the women, the Prophet now said, Ya ma'ashar al-nisa, O you gathering of women, tasaddaqna, give out sadaqah, fa inna kunna aksaru hata bi jahannam. Why? Because most of you will be the poor of jahannam. وقامت امرأة من ستة النساء. When the Prophet made this statement to this woman, that a woman من ستة النساء, from the midst of the women, stood up. This woman, صفعاء الخدين, her cheeks, she has some blackness on her cheeks, on her two cheeks. فقالت, this woman stood up and she said, Lima ya Rasulullah. Why, O Messenger of Allah? What is she asking about? She's asking, why is it that women will be, most women will be the poor of Jahannam, of hellfire? That's what she's asking. She wants to know, why is it that many women will go to hellfire? She's not challenging the Prophet. Okay, she just wants to know, at least, if she knows the reason, the things that women commit that will make them to go to hellfire, at least she can avoid those things and be saved. Now, so that's why she was asking. Qala, the Prophet said to her, لِأَنَّ كُنَّا تُكْفِرِنَا الشَّكَاتِ, because you people complain a lot, وَتَكْفُرُنَا الْعَشِيرِ, and you are ungrateful to your husband. Qala, the narrator said, فَجَعَلْنَا يَتَصَدَّقُنَا مِنْ حُلِيِّهِنَّ, so the women began to give sadaqah from their ornaments. You know, from their bangles, from their rings, all these ornaments in the, on their body. He said, "Yulqina fi thawbi Bilal." They were throwing in the garment of Bilal. Bilal went to get out the Prophet. So when the Prophet said the women should give sadaqah, Bilal held out his garment. So women were throwing their ornaments, anything they have for sadaqah, they were throwing it into that garment of Bilal. Alright? He said, "Min akraatihinna." They were throwing their earrings. وَخَوَاتِمِهِنَّمْ, and their ring, their finger ring. That was the end of the hadith. So, this hadith indicates that the imam on each day is supposed to reserve some part of his khutbah for the women. Okay? As the Prophet used to do. If it is possible, it is better for him to face the men, deliver the sermon to the men. Since women are behind, they may not hear him very well. When he finishes with the men, he should now go to the side of women and also admonish them. And if it's not possible, as it is the case in our East today, you know, the moment the imam says salam, even before he finishes delivering the sermon to the men, the place is already loud, people are leaving. It may not be possible to move down to the side of women. At least in his khutbah, let him reserve a portion for admonishing women. Let him talk about issues affecting women in his family. Okay, this is the practice of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Secondly, this hadith also shows that sadaqah, alright, wipes away sin. That was why the Prophet was telling these women to give out sadaqah. Alright? Because whatever is their sin, if they repent to Allah and they give out sadaqah frequently, sadaqah wipes away sin. In one of the hadiths, the Prophet says, sadaqah wipes away sin just like water quenches fire. Okay? So this hadith is showing us the importance of giving out sadaqah regularly. It helps in wiping out our sins. Thirdly, this hadith shows that the main reason why many women go to hellfire is because what? They complain a lot. They are not grateful to their husband. This is advising women to be grateful to their husband, no matter what is the situation. Okay? In one of the narrations of this hadith, the Prophet said that a woman a man will spend all he has on a woman. He will spend years, alright, being kind to the woman. But the day he does one thing wrong to the woman will say that you have never done anything good to me before. You can imagine. Alright, so forget all the things that he has been doing for her. So this is ingratitude. Okay, this is ingratitude. Alright, so this is encouraging women to be grateful to their husband and to be patient with them, no matter the difficult situation they are going through. Okay? Innama al-usr yusra. Alright? No matter the difficulty, Allah will bring ease at the end of it. Okay? Allah will bring ease at the end of it. Then the hadith also shows how the sahabiyat, alright, the women companions, just like the men companions, are always in eager, alright, to do righteous deeds. the moment the Prophet commanded them to do sadaqah, immediately they started giving out whatever they have, including the ornaments from their body. They didn't say, okay, I want to think about it next time when I have money, I'll put on this. No, they want to fulfill their obligation without the command immediately. And they started giving out their ornaments. Finally, this hadith also shows that if a woman has something, a married woman, something which she owns by herself, she can dispose of it without the consent of her husband. You understand? Because these women did not go to seek permission from their men before they started giving out their ornaments. So scholars say that whatever is her own, which she owns, not something brought by her husband, okay, if it is her own, then she has the right to dispose it even without the consent of the husband. And the husband is not supposed to be angry because of that. Even though it is better for her to always consult her husband before she disposes such material. Do we understand? Allah, these are some of the lessons we can learn from this text. Now, the next hadith says, and Ummi Atiyya Nusaybata al-Ansariya radiallahu anha. May Allah be pleased with her. She narrated, Kala, she said, Amarana, Ta'ni al-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, we were commanded. By whom? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah commanded us to do what? An nukhrija fit'idain. That we should take out with us. When we are going for it, we should go along with whom? Al-awati. We should go out with, unmarried women, young women that are unmarried. These are the awati. Alright? A young woman that has matured and she's not yet married. Okay? This kind of young girls, we should take them out with us when we're going for eight prayers. Wazawati al-qudur. Alright? And women that are always in submission. Alright? Al-qudur is the plural of khidim. Alright, in the Arab culture, in their houses, they have an inner room that is covered with curtains where young girls are always kept, okay, in the house. Alright, so that others will not be seeing them anyhow. So the Prophet is saying that go out along with young girls, even those ones that are always in submission, especially those that are already close to getting married. Okay, they are the ones that they are always put in kind of submission. So wa amar al huyya. And ya'tazilna musalla al-muslimin. And we're commanded that as for women, meaning all women should go out. He now said, wa amara al-hujjaba. Then he commanded women that are menstruating. Okay? They are also to go out to the eat ground, but what? And ya'tazilna musalla al-muslimin. But they are to stay away from the prayer ground. Okay? So they go out to the field, alright? For the place, the market for prayer, they should stay away from that place. But they will be there witnessing what is going on. But in love, in another wedding of this hadith, she said, "Unna nu'mar." We used to be commanded, I think, by the Prophet, and nukhrija yawm al-eid. I will take out on the day of Eid. And nukhrija yawm al-eid. We used to be commanded that we should go out. That we should go out on the day of Eid. Hatta nukhrija al-bikr. To the extent that we are commanded to go out with what al-bikr. Virgin young girls that we have with us at home, then khidriha, alright, these kind of young girls that are in seclusion at home, we also take them out to witness the Eid. Wa hatta nukhrij al-hayyat, even we are to go out with menstruating women, fa yukabbirna bi takbirihim. These menstruating women that will go out, they are to say takbir alongside the people in the mosque when they are saying takbir. Wa yadu'una bi du'a'ihim. And they are to supplicate together with other Muslims when they are supplicating on the Islam. يَرُدُونَ بَرَكَةَ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ. Hoping for the blessing of that day. وَكُمْرَتَهُ and his purity. Okay? So, this hadith shows the importance of going out to attend the Eid prayer. Scholars differ among themselves on the obligations of the Eid prayer. There are scholars of the opinion that Eid prayer is obligatory. Okay? It is wajib al-ayat. It's obligatory on every individual. Everybody is to go out. So long as you are alive, when and if you are expected as a Muslim to go out to the Islam. Why? Because of a hadith like this, where the Prophet is commanded, even menstruating women that they are not supposed to pray, they should go out. So what more of iman? Okay? And also the passage in the Quran where Allah says, فَصَدِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَى. Alright, this passage is talking about Eve. Alright, فَدَ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَى وَذَكَ رَسْمَ رَبِّهِ وَصَدَّى. This verse is talking about Israel. So because of verses like this, some scholars have been, you know, that going to eat prayer is obligatory. While majority of the scholars have been, you know, that eat prayer is not obligatory, but to eat an emphatic sunnah. Right? It is an emphatic sunnah. In any case, it is highly encouraged that we should not stay back at home. We should go out there and pray, including women. Alright, including women. Because eat is one of the signs, one of the symbols of Islam. Alright, it is one of the avenues to showcase the beauty of Islam to members of the society, including non-Muslims. This hadith also shows that menstruating women can go to the Ihram, but just as Prophet said, they are to stay away from the place areas where people are praying. But they can make tasbih, they can make tasbih, they can supplicate alongside the people while they are doing all these things. Okay, while they are doing all these things. Allahu a'lam. The next hadith. Okay, we are through with that chapter. Now, we now move to Babu Salatul Kusur. We go to the chapter talking about Salatul Kusur. Salatul Kusur is the salat that is observed during the eclipse. Eclipse of the sun or eclipse of the moon. Okay, either eclipse of the sun or eclipse of the moon. Both Kusur and khusu are used interchangeably, all right, to refer to eclipse of either the sun or either the moon or the moon. Now, even though some scholars have the opinion that khusu should be used to refer to eclipse of the sun, while khusu should be used to refer to eclipse of the moon, because Allah says in the Quran, فَإِذَا بَرِكَ الْبَطَرُ وَخَسَفَ الْقَمَرُ. So Allah used khusu for al-qamar. Now, but in any case, as we shall see in this hadith, even khusuf was used for eclipse of the sun. Now, the first hadith here is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, "Anna shamsa khasafat ala ahdi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." She said there was eclipse of the sun during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, eclipse of the sun will happen during the daytime. Okay, during the daytime, all of a sudden, the brightness of the moon or the sun will cease, and there will be darkness during the day time. Now, it said, فَبَعَثَ مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي. When it happened, the Prophet sent a caller to call on the people. The caller will go around the community and the calling people, saying what? As-salata jami'atan. That's what the caller will be saying. Okay, as-salata jami'atan, meaning congregational prayer is going to be established so that people can come out to the mosque. He said, "Fajtama'u," so the people gathered. "Watakaddama," and the Prophet now steps forward. "Fakabbara," he did the takbir. "Wasalla arba raka'atin," and he prayed four ruku fi raka'atin, in two rakat of prayer. Okay, so arba raka'at here is referring to the ruku. Alright, arba raka'at, the prayer had four ruku, but the raka'at, the raka'at itself is what? It's two raka'at. Wa arba sajdat, and it has four ruku. Okay, so this is how you observe salat al khusu. Okay, it is two units of prayer, two raka'at. But in each raka'at, there will be two ruku. Okay, two ruku, two ruku. Inshallah, we'll come to the hadith that will explain in detail how the Prophet observed this particular prayer. In any case, this hadith shows about that when there is khusu, when there is eclipse of the sun, as Muslims, what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to gather in the mosque to observe this prayer. Secondly, this prayer has no azan. Okay? So the muazzin is not supposed to call azan for him to gather in the mosque. Rather, what the muazzin is supposed to say is what? As-salata jami'atan. Okay, that's what the muazzin is supposed to say, and not to call prayer. And then there's also no ikama for this prayer. Once people gathered in the mosque, as you can see, the Prophet just stepped forward and he did takbir. It's not said that there was ikama. So there's no azan for it, and there's no ikama for it. The imam will only step forward and he will make the example ikram, and the prayer will start. Let's take the next hadith, we'll explain further. In it. Next hadith says, An Abi Mas'ud, Abu Mas'ud narrates. Who is Abu Mas'ud? Is Uqbah bin Amir al-Ansari, radiallahu anhu, qala, he said. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Inna shamsa wal qamara ayatani min ayatillah. The Prophet said, Verily, the sun and the moon are two signs among the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُخَوِّفُ اللَّهُ بِهِمَا عِبَادَهُ Allah used them, meaning the eclipse of the sun or the eclipse of the moon are signs that Allah used to scare his servants. Allah used them to scare his servants so that they will stop committing sins and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet now said, وَإِنَّهُمَا لَا يَنْكَسِفَانِ لِمَوْتِ أَحَدٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَلَا لِحَيَاتِهِ These two signs, the sun and the moon, their eclipse does not occur because of the death of anybody among the people or because of the life of anybody. So eclipse will not happen just because somebody died or because somebody was born. So فَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ مِنْهُمَا شَيْئًا Whenever you see anything of this nature, what do you do? The person do, you should go and pray. Wadu'u and supplicate to Allah. Hatta yankashifa ma bikum. Alright? He said you should pray and supplicate till Allah makes clear what the situation that you are in. Okay? So, that is it. Both eclipses of the sun and the moon are signs, no signs of Allah. They do not occur because of the death or life of anybody. The Prophet actually made this statement. Why? Because when the eclipse of the sun happened, this happened to the Prophet, it so happened that it coincided with the death of his son, Ibrahim. Alright? The Prophet had a son called Ibrahim that was born by Maryam to Kiftiyah. Alright, who happened to be a slave girl that was gifted to him by the king of Egypt at that time. Alright, so she gave birth to his son called Ibrahim. And the son died at a very tender age. Okay, the very day before he died, people started saying that this eclipse happened because of the death of Ibrahim. That has been the ideology during the time of Jahiliyyah, during the pre-Islamic era. The people generally believe that eclipse of the sun or the moon occurs whenever the death of somebody great among the people happens, or whenever somebody great is being born. Okay? So the Prophet now has to clarify this mistaken ideology that it has nothing to do with the death or life of anybody. You understand? And that's why sometimes in the past, I'm sure now it doesn't happen again. Whenever there's evidence of the moon, you will see people shouting. Have you seen something like that, no? Huh? You see people within the zikri, they will be hitting their chest, jumping around the street because of the evidence of the moon. Ignorance. Alright? Ignorance. Some will even say they are seeing one wali in the moon. Have you heard something like that? There's a loop. That is Shaykh Ukala. Alright? In the moon. What is he doing in the moon? So, all these things are out of ignorance. Alright? All these things are out of ignorance. Eclipse of the sun or the moon does not happen because of the death or life of anybody. Whatever it happens, what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to observe prayer. Now, the eclipse of the moon, alright? The prayer is not done like that of eclipse of the sun. Alright, it is the eclipse of the sun that has two rakats with what? Two ruku in it. for the edges of the moon is just two rakats alone, or a simple nafla of two rakats, and that's all. You don't need to do two ruku in it. Do you understand? No. So when it is done, after the prayer, the imam is supposed to supplicate, and the people will supplicate along with the imam till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clears it. Alright? The Prophet said that Allah used it to hear his summons. Okay, because you know it's a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can destroy the earth at any time, or right, because of the sins of the people. So that whenever we see it, we're supposed to be afraid of the a calamity that's about to befall. So we seek the repentance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the next hadith is that Anna Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha narrates again, Qala, she said, خَسَفَتِ الشَّمْسُ عَلَىٰ أَهْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَىٰ اللَّهِ وَسَلَمْ. There was eclipse of the sun during the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَقَامَ فَصَلَّى رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Did not. So the Prophet stood up and led the people in prayer. She said, فَأَطَالَ الْقِيَامِ. Okay? The Prophet elongated the standing in the prayer. ثُمَّ رَكَعَ. Meaning he recited a very long surah, right, or long verse in the prayer. ثم ركع, then he now made, he did ruku, he prostrated. He took his bow as ruku. فأطال ruku, then he elongated the ruku as well. Okay, in his position of ruku, he elongated the tasbih and the ruku. ثم قام, then he rose from the ruku. فأطال القيام, then he elongated the standing again. وَهُوَ دُونَ الْقِيَامَ الْأَوَّلِ. But this second stand now was less than the first one. Okay? ثُمَّ رَكَعَ, then he went for the second ruku. فَأَطَالَ ruku, and he elongated the ruku. وَهُوَ دُونَ الْرُكُوعِ الْأَوَّلِ. But this second ruku now is less than the first ruku. Then she said, ثُمَّ سَجَدَ, then he now went for sujood. He prostrated. فَأَطَالَ sujood, then he elongated the sujood. ثم فعل في ركعة أخرى, then he did in the second ركعة مثل ما فعل في ركعة الأولى, just the way he did in the first ركعة. ثم انصرف, then he finished the prayer. وقد انجلت الشمس, at that time the sun has already cleared. فخطب الناس, then he delivered sermon to the people. فحمد الله وأثنى عليه, he praised Allah in his khutbah. He started the khutbah by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثم قال, then he said, إِنَّ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ, verily sun and the moon, آيَتَان مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ, they are two signs among the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا تَنْخَصِفَانِ لِمَوْتِ أَحَدٍ وَلَا لِحَيَاتِ. They do not occur. The eclipse of these two does not occur because of the death of anybody or because of the life of anybody. فَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ ذَلِكَ. So when you see that happen, what do you do? فَدُعُ اللَّهِ, supplicate to Allah. وَكَبِّرُوا, make takbir. وَصَلُّوا, and pray. وَتَصَدَّقُوا, and give sadaqah. So that's what we do. Not to be jumping around the street. ثُمَّ قَالَ, then the Prophet said, Ya Ummata Muhammad, O you Ummah, nation of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Wallahi, I swear by Allah, Ma min ahadin aghyaru min Allah subhanahu. There is no one who has more self-honor. Al-ghira is when you have self-honor that you will not want to accept some immoral thing. Alright, or anything that is disrespectful. Okay? So nobody has this self-honor more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Min an yazniya abduhu aw tazni ummatuhu aw tazni amatuhu. Alright, that his male servant or his female servant should commit zina. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to give them a similitude. The Arabs, during their time, they were slaves. And when a man owns a slave, he sees it as disrespectful to him, all right, as an insult to his honor, for somebody to come and commit fornication with his slave. Do you understand? So the Prophet is telling them, just the way you feel disrespected you feel you have not, your honor has been insulted for someone to commit zina with your slave, that is how Allah feels, because we are all slaves to Allah. So when you commit zina with anybody, either as a male or a female, you are also disrespecting the honor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do we understand the humility? Now, so that's the humility Allah, the Prophet is giving them. He now said, Ya Ummat Muhammad, O you nation of Muhammad, Wallahi, I swear by Allah, لو تعلمون ما أعلم, if you know what I know of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, if you know what I know of the terror of the day of judgment, لضحكتم قليلا, you will laugh very little, ولبكيتم كثيرا, and you will cry a lot. Of the loving, another wording of this hadith, فاستكمل أربع ركعات وأربع سجدات. The Prophet completed the prayer doing four ruku and four sujood. So this hadith teaching us how the salat of wudu is carried out. Alright? So how to carry out salat of wudu. The imam is to lead the people in prayer, like I said, without azan and without a qamah. And he is going to recite aloud. Okay? The imam is going to conduct the prayer reciting aloud. So in the first rakah, he recites Fatiha and a long verse, a long surah. Okay, then he goes to ruku. He will be in that ruku for a long period. Then when he rises from the ruku, he will recite Fatiha again. Alright, aloud, see. Recite Fatiha and another surah. But this time around, the surah will be less than the first rakah, than the one recited in the first rakah. Then he will now go for the second ruku. Okay? The ruku will be less in length than the first one. Then when he rises from this ruku, he will now go for sujood. Okay? And that's how he's going to do in the second rakah till he completes the prayer. Now when he finishes, he's expected to admonish the people. He's supposed to supplicate and admonish the people. You can see in this particular hadith, the Prophet started by calling the people, by warning the people against what? Fornication and adultery. Because that is one of the greatest causes of calamity among the people. The Prophet in one of the hadiths says that any community where fornication and adultery is rampant, Allah will bring upon them plague, different diseases, and death. Sudden death will be common among them, and different kind of diseases will be common among such people. There is all these calamities that befall on people as a result of fornication and adultery. Alright, and Allah has destroyed it. Okay, and that's why the Prophet started by calling people, by warning them against it. So, it is encouraged that after the prayer, the Imam will supplicate generally and also admonish people to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from their sin. Now, so that's how Salat al-Qusur is carried out. Now, the next hadith says, An Abi Musa al-Ash'ari. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, qala, he said, خسفت الشمس على زمان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. There was eclipse of the sun during the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقام فزعا. So the Prophet stood up in fear and terror when the eclipse happened. يخشى أن تكون الساعة. Was afraid. It's likely this may likely be the sign of what? Of the last day. It may likely be the last hour. حتى أتى المسجد. So in fear and terror he rushed down to the mosque. فَقَامَ He stood there, فَصَلَّى بِأَطْوَلِ قِيَامٍ He led the people in prayer with a very long standing. وَرُكُوعٍ And ruku, a very long ruku was sujood, and a very long sujood. مَا رَأَيْتُهُ يَفْعَلُهُ فِي صَلَاتٍ قَبْتُ I've never seen him elongating his prayer like this before. ثُمَّ قَالَ After the prayer, the Prophet now said, إِنَّ هَذِهِ الْآيَاتِ These signs that you see, الَّذِي يُرْسِلُهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى Which Allah sends upon the people. لا تقول لموت أحد ولا لحياتي. They do not occur because of the death of anybody or because anybody is born. ولكن الله يرسلها يخوف بها عباده. But Allah sent it to scare His servants so that they will turn away from their sins. فإذا رأيت منها شيئا. So whenever you see anything from this, فافزعوا إلى ذكر الله. So you hurry up to the remembrance of Allah. و ودعائه and supplicating to him, واستغفاره and seek Allah's forgiveness. Okay, so that's what we do whenever there is eclipse of the sun or eclipse of the moon. Okay. Okay. Inshallah, we'll stop here. Like I said, all the ahadith that were narrated were all concerning what? Eclipse of the sun. Because it is eclipse of the sun that has a different way of observing it. But as for the eclipse of the moon, like I said, it's just two normal two rakat of prayer. Right? The Imam will also recite aloud, and it is expected to elongate the prayer because the prayer is supposed to last is when the sun or the moon will become clear. Okay, and after it, there will be supplication and there will be admonition to the Sunnah, and that is the legislation of Islam. Allah Ta'ala Alam. We will talk, inshallah, in our next class. We will talk about Salatul Istisqa. That is prayer for seeking rain. Alright, prayer for seeking rain. That's what we will discuss, inshallah, if we are alive to witness the next class, inshallah. So I will say that may Allah reward us for it, and wherever we are wrong, may Allah forgive us, may Allah give us knowledge. Subhanaka Allahu wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If there are questions, I will take these questions before we pray, inshallah. Now. Yes. These people are not aware of this, okay? And you cannot find anybody around that will join you in the month of prayer, that you can lead your whole family members and pray after the Shabbat. That's the problem, right? But there is need for enlightenment so that our people will be aware of what Islam is encouraging during immediate life. Now. There is no narration specifically mentioning women, alright? But Salatul Qusur can be observed by women as well, okay? This ahadith was right now, most of them were narrated by who? Were narrated by Aisha, right? And that shows that she was present when the Prophet observed the prayer, alright? So women are allowed to attend Salatul Qusur, and this is Salatul Qusur. We will discuss that in our next class. So there is no any prohibition against women attending this prayer. It's allowed to tell. Now. Okay. At the middle of the prayer of the mosque, right behind the prophet. You understand? That's what the prophet said. He said, "Liyadiyani minkum ulul ahlab wal nuha." Alright? Let those who are mature, okay, and knowledgeable, you get this, be behind me immediately when I'm going to pray. You get this. So the staff is supposed to start right from behind the mosque. You get this. So, if 3-4 people are in the mosque, okay, or 5, and they all line up right behind the Imam immediately, if anybody comes in, okay, you know, there's space in the right, okay, this is the whole right part, there's space in the right, there's space in the left, isn't it? Because maybe 4-5 are standing here. So, whoever is coming in now is now encouraged to join himself from the right. You understand? Not that people should enter the mosque, the Imam is here, then people want to start the path there. Nobody's behind him. That's not the issue of Allah. Likewise, the second path as well, correct? They are also to start from the middle as well. okay, so that they can see the Imam behind them. Okay, then whatever comes in is expected to join from the right. Do you understand? So that's how the first is supposed to be carried out. This situation you give now, where some people are using some critical voice to say that this is ignorant, all right, they are supposed to be together. All right, trying to say that what Wahaud and Manaki, or that Tatwabu, who just with Shaitan. But you join your shoulders to shoulders, don't leave space for Shaitan to enter in between you. So three people cannot be here, another set of people are here. Okay, they're supposed to come together. Come on. Every other person is supposed to say what? Rabbana wa lakal hamd. Alright? Rabbana wa lakal hamd. I discussed the difference with Bino at that time that there are scholars who have seen that the Imamun is also expected to say Sami Allahu liman hamida before saying Rabbana wa lakal hamd. But I said, like I said at that time, it's in weak opinion. Alright? There's a feeling like that, but it's in weak opinion. The strongest opinion is that the Imam says Sami Allahu liman hamida, the Imam will say Sami Allahu liman hamida and also say Rabbana wa lakal hamd. While the Mahmoud will say what? Rabbana wa lakal hamd alone. Then whoever is praying alone will say Sami Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana wa lakal hamd. You understand? The hadith of the Prophet clearly stated, فَإِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامِ لِيُسَمَّ بِهِ فَإِذَا كَبَّرَ فَكَبِّرُوا وَإِذَا رَكَعَ فَارْكَعُوا وَإِذَا قَالَ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ فَقُولُوا رَبَّنَا وَ لَكَ الْحَمْدُ. Direct in front of the Prophet. Right? So there is no point saying that the Ma'mun will say Sami Allahu liman hamida before Rabbana wa lakal hamd. Okay? So that's everybody will say Rabbana wa lakal hamd, including if it has got to raise his voice now, we shout Rabbana wa lakal hamd. Another question. There is no any hadith of the Prophet, all right, indicating that the Prophet gathered people in the mosque, spread white news, and started doing any adhkar, all right. So the best guidance is the guidance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All right, let us speak to the teachings of the Prophet. There is nowhere the Prophet did that. Allah. No. Any other question? No question. We'll talk inshallah.